I'm still on mute most of the time. Kathy wants it to be all the time. I'm reading this to keep it short, otherwise I'll... I'm seeing a specialist in 3 weeks to find out what happened to my voice and then what we're going to do with it after that. But meanwhile, Pastor Jeremy is covering most of my personal duties here at the church, almost all of them, in fact, until we get this thing figured out. But I haven't gone anywhere, and I'm not going anywhere. The Lord's timing couldn't be more amazing than all of this, because, first of all, I think it was an inevitability that it was going to happen, looking back on it. At some point, I was just going to blow out my voice. But God brought, you know, Jeremy and his family up here just at the right time. It's fantastic. And I was supposed to leave for Israel tonight with a full busload of people, 50 people, and I wouldn't have been able to talk. So the cancellation of the tour, again, as unfortunate as that is, and I still wish we could go this year, next year in Jerusalem. But I would not have been able to speak. So I'm really looking forward to finishing the book of Revelation. I hope you are too. Also making a few observations about what's happening over there and how they fit in prophetically. The stuff is burning inside of me, and I just can't do it. And I just want to say thank you so much for your patience. I'm going to be a few more weeks on mute, or my voice might not ever recover or recover for a very long time. You are God's family. Your brothers and sisters and family takes care of each other. And this is what you do best. Keep going and love one another, folks. Love each other in actions. They're the proof to this world and in the church that Jesus is real and that Jesus is risen. And I want to say hi to the folks all in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, who watch these services regularly. There's a little congregation there. And I love you guys. Hope you're enjoying Jeremy. And I'll be back as soon as I can. So God bless you guys. I am now on mute once again.
Please stand. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't. Someone's in the back saying your welcome is officially worn out. A reminder, we have the daily breads for the next 3 months. So they're all over the place. They're in the fireside room. They're in the foyer. So grab one, grab two, grab three. Get one for yourself. Share them with your friends and or family. And I think that's all I was supposed to remember. It'll hit me. Too late. It'll hit me. So if you would, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to begin in verse 5 of chapter 6. It's one of those things that everybody gets weirded out. Even if you're a Christian or if you're a non-Christian, everybody gets weird. Some of the most important things I found, I think, I know, it seems like the devil says, this is important, so I'm going to weird you out. This is important, so I'm going to make you not touch it. Spiritual gifts, nobody wants to touch it, but it's incredibly necessary. Getting saved, that's very necessary, but people are like, well, if I get saved, then I'm going to turn into a weirdo. I have noticed that weirdness is an inevitability for some people. You know, that person who's a weird Christian, they were a weird heathen. So don't blame it on the Lord. Sometimes folks are just weird. So just, you know, deal with it. But it's one of those things where people, they get real, real strange with. And prayer is one of those things that people get real, real jacked up about. You know, Christian, I don't know how to pray. And not Christian, no, don't pray for me. What do you think is going to happen if I pray for you? Zap! Yeah. Now you're a weird Christian because I prayed for you and it's inevitable, so I got you. But it's so simple because we all know, you know, if we were to break it down, well, what is prayer? Prayer is talking to the Lord. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. But we make it, well, I can't pray as much as I would like to, or I try to pray, but I feel that there's a wall, there's this breakdown. I mean, it's prayer. I mean, I talk to people almost endlessly. A lot of us have the gift of gab with one another, but then when it's time to talk to the Lord, I got nothing to say. I'm shy, Lord. Like, Lord's like, I heard you talking to that dude. You talked to him for 15 straight minutes. You know how many times he did like this? But you didn't stop. But now all of a sudden, it's all crickets when you talk to me. And that whole thing that is just so hard and it's so tough, I want to break it down. I can't give away trade secrets because they are trade secrets. But like I just said, prayer is simple. It's just talking to the Lord. It's a conversation. But we make it seem like there's a prerequisite to talk to the Lord. Now there is, we'll get to that, but not the way we think. We make it so much tougher. Years ago, infinite pounds ago, I was at the California Highway Patrol Police Academy. And you're there and you're all jacked up. That's their term. I mean, after a week, I forgot what those lovely ladies looked like. I did. Because, I mean, there was a point where my memory just, it was gone. I can remember up to a certain point where some guys were yelling at me in wonderful uniforms. And then the rest of the week went black. Now, all the stuff that I learned along the way, I remembered, but I had no clue where I learned the stuff. And it wasn't until, okay, they canned me in July, my memory started to come back in December. So it was probably a good thing that I didn't get that job because. But the thing that they taught you is like, if you guys have any questions, just come to the staff office and ask. And, you know, I'm sitting up there. I mean, it's like I'm the Vallejo version of Gomer Pyle because I'm like, well, golly, that sure is nice of them. And so... And I was like, oh, you know, bless their hearts. I mean, if I have a question, I just go up and say, hey, I got a question. And so, you know, they teach you how to report because it's this whole thing. You can't just go up there and say, hey, sir, I got a question. I mean, you can, but you don't do it twice. And so the end of the first week, you have to go and you had to report in order to leave. And no, you just had to, you know, write on the locator where you were going to go. And so I'm writing it. All my information, and of course, when you're under pressure, something as simple as writing down your own address is really hard, and it's a real big deal. So it's like, is it 164 Briarwood Court, 146 Briarwood, either which way, I messed up. So I'm like, well, they said if you have a question, just ask. So I said, sir, what do you want? Well, sir, I missed... Why aren't you going back, Grant, when you get your big boy voice? Well, I thought it was okay. So way back to the end line I go, and I'm hearing everybody else. If this is too loud, I'm sorry, because they scream. So I'm hearing my fellow cadets, sir, Cadet Grant, that's at the staff office. They weren't Cadet Grant, but they were Cadet whoever their name was. And so they come out, what do you want? And they yell at them, I want this. All right, Peter, get out of here. And then you scurry off. So, okay, so you go up there. Cadet Grant, staff office is at a billion times louder. And you tell them, then you beat it. So I'm like, cool, I got it. Not that big of a deal. I'm up there, it's the middle of the summer. My allergies are really acting up. So I can't breathe, I can't see. So Ann gets me some allergy medicine. But if you have anything on you, in your room, in your car, and they find it, and you didn't tell them that, you know, hey, I got this allergy medicine, they will go nuts. So I had so much fun at the staff office before. Why not? I got to go tell these guys, you know, sir, I have this medication. So I really thought I had it, you know, sorted. I had 15 minutes before lunch. So I told my roommate, hey, I'm going to jam over to the staff office real quick. Let these guys know what's going on. And I'll meet you over for lunch. You got to come up to an imaginary line that's there. Of course, you're at attention. Bang on the wall. Sir, Cadet Grant at the staff office. Once again, turn it up in your minds. I'm amped for once. I would need to be amped. But you crank it up, and then they come out, and they say, yes, no. What? And at this point, I'm thinking, Cadet Grant left. I don't know who I am anymore. And so, sir, Cadet Grant, I have information. And then, and he slams his hands down. I mean, they did stuff. You know it had to hurt, but they've got to keep that facade up. So he slams his hands down, and he starts screaming at me. And, you know, I'm looking this way, and I have pretty good peripheral vision. But this guy, he slaps his hands down, and I affirm. It's not, you don't shouldn't swear in church. I affirm. This dude let just like the biggest pool of drool just come out of his mouth. And because he's, you know, he's letting me know that I'm not quite right. And he, what do you want, Grant? And so, just stop, Grant. And I'm like, oh, it's like, dude, I mean, lunch is coming and I just, where are you supposed to be, Grant? That's such a big question. Because in my mind at this point, I think I'm supposed to be in Vallejo. I'm supposed to be anywhere but where I am. And he's screaming at me, weren't you supposed to be 48 inches away from? I'm thinking, I don't have my tape measure on me. I don't know. Well, what are you? I mean, what this whole thing about where are you supposed to be? How are you supposed to scream? Then another one, his buddies came out. And so this guy's yelling at me. This guy's yelling at me. You're supposed to be this way. How about you do it about face? Now I'm going to marching class. Now they're teaching me how to march. You're not supposed to walk away at a 45-degree angle, Grant. It's the right angle. It's the right angle, Grant. It's not that tough to understand. All I wanted to do was tell them, this is not crack cocaine. This is just allergy medicine. That's all I wanted to tell them. I just had information. 20 minutes later. Now, what do you want, Grant? What do you want? You've been here forever. Got me. I don't have a clue what I want. Sir, I have these. I'm a 36-year-old man at this point. I'm in charge of a household. And these guys have me shaking literally in my boots because they're yelling at me. But after a while, it gets kind of old because it starts to get to you. And just to let them know, hey, I've got this allergy medication. I'm not on any kind of drugs, just to let you know. Eventually, 15 minutes turned into about 15 hours is what it felt like. But such an ordeal, just to let them know something. It's designed to make you tough. I'm not boo-hoo, but you know, if you're looking at a career in law enforcement, I do suggest you give them a shot. It'll change your life forever. It'll give you a plethora of stories. But see, that was that particular organization. That's hard. That makes me think, skip it. I'll just die of an allergic reaction. I have no information. It's not that important. At that point, you got anything to say, Grant? I do not. Nope. But then you compare that with how the Lord tells us we can approach him. Is it really that hard? I've read this book a couple times, cover to cover. I've never read, now before you enter in, give me 20. Before you enter in, we're going to have a gauntlet that you have to go through. You got to go through Manny, and he's going to give you a hard time. Then we got Pastor Jim waiting for you, and he's going to love you Jim style. And then Jeremy, he's going to have a couple pots of coffee, and then he's going to mess with you. And then after you make it through the gauntlet, then you can make your request made known to me. That's not what he says. He says, you can just come on in. It's not nearly as arduous. It's not arduous at all. It's just come on in. And in fact, well, let's look at what the Lord says about it. We're still in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. I mean, it was a long story, but imagine living it. It's just, you're like, I feel like I was there. No. We're still laughing. So it's different. Here the Lord, he says to them, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Since the Lord is directing us, because the disciples in other gospels, they preface it with the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. So this is all an answer to a question or to a request. Teach us to pray. Not even how to pray, but Lord, teach us to pray. And here the Lord, he starts off with some negatives. This is how I don't want you to do it. And a lot of people, you know, it kind of flummoxes me because God is God. I mean, I said that, but you're like, well, duh. But have you ever had the person, how come God says this? What gives God the right to say that? It's like, you just said it. He's God. I mean, everything you say, he made. Everything you see, he's God. He's in charge. That's why he gets to do whatever he wants. So, you know, you should flip it on him. Well, what makes you think you can question God? And they'll be, I. Since we're talking to God, God says, when you talk to me, this is how you're going to talk to me. We've all had that. You know, if we have kids or kids staying with us who are not our kids, who don't know, I've had to say that a lot of times. You're not going to talk to me that way. You will, but you're going to pay if you think about talking to me crazy again like that one more time. I mean, those are some good stories right there. Not my kids, because my kids are squared away, but because they've lived those stories. But the Lord has the total right. Said, this is how you're going to talk to me, and this is how you're not going to talk to me. And so, number one, he starts out, like I said, with the negatives. He says, when you talk to me, do not make a big show of it. Don't make a big production. Because who are we talking to? We're talking to the Lord. But a lot of times, especially during, you know, corporate prayer times, it's kind of like, am I praying to the Lord or am I praying to the person in the back? Or am I praying to this person over there? It kind of seems like a lot of times we forget that even in the prayer meeting, it's to the Lord, not to the people. And here the Lord says, you don't make it a show for the people. These guys, they had set times, the Pharisees, they had set times when they would go to the temple and pray. And so when the Lord says they do it on street corners, that was a show. That was all theatrics, because what they were trying to show the people, man, I just love God so much. I can't even keep it bubbled. It's bubbling up and I can't keep it in until I get to the temple. I mean, I know I could have left early and, you know, got to the temple and just let the spirit bubble over, but nope. So they would get to a corner where a lot of people were, and then they just start a spontaneous prayer, and the people were like, oh man, look at the Pharisees. They are so awesome. They're so pious. They're so this and that. And that's why they did it, for a show, so that people would think they were so cool. And the Lord says they have the reward. You want people to think you're cool? Well, that's it. And some of them don't even think you're cool. It says now you need to be working for the Lord to think you're cool, but we settle for people. Because I am an equal opportunity jerk. I got into it with my grandmother. Your grandmother? Yes, my grandmother. Because I had just started preaching. And she says, well, I want to come and hear you preach. And I said, well, you know, grandmother, you have your own church. You don't need to, you know, it's the same gospel. I learned it was not. But she's like, well, you know, basically I want to come and put on a show and hum and ha. And I said, well, don't do that. Don't do that, grandmother, because, you know, then I got to get the deacons to haul you out because you're making a disturbance. And, you know, because, you know, I think my sister sent me this thing on YouTube about a, I'm not trying to be racist here, about a white guy who went to black church for the first time. And if you've ever been, I don't know, I'm here. So I've spoken by my absence there and my presence here. But this guy is sitting up there and he's like, you know, because black folks, they scream out like, yeah, don't do that. I'm so good. And preach it. And they, you know, they help him out. So the guy, he's sitting up there and he says, you know, I went to black church for the first time. And they're screaming at the preacher. He's like, will you shut up and let him preach? You messing him up. And then, you know, he says something like, yeah, amen. And he says, if you guys would be quiet, it's 3:00. Accurate. It's 3:00. And if you keep interrupting him, he's going to go longer. So he's like, and so he says, but, you know, you go to you know, white church and, well, we're seeing that right here. You know, I'm talking. You guys are listening. I am so cool with that. And I thank you. But my whole point is my grandmother was used to the show. My grandma was used to, how is everybody going to know I'm holy unless I show them how holy I am? And then she met the immovable object or the brick wall or whatever you want to call me. And then she's like, well, I can't, if I just get hit with the spirit, I'm not going to hold it in. I can't hold it in. That's Pharisee nonsense. And I said, so you're telling me, yeah, this conversation that I have with family. I said, so you're telling me, you know, you're at church and the spirit just hits you and you can't help it. Yes. I said, so what happens if the spirit hits you at Safeway? Are you're just going down the produce aisle, get some grapes. Wow! I just can't hold it in anymore. It's like, no, you won't do that because we won't call the ushers or the deacons. Well, back in the day, they would call the cops. We have a prayer room we'd like to take you to. We have some men who you can call them counselors or friends. Some call them the police, but they're going to help you. They're going to help you handle whatever your problem is because you got something going on. But, you know, we can look back and say, boy, those Pharisees, you know, they're just like the tricks rabbit, the silly rabbit. That stuff translates where it can be more of a show, more of theatrics, more for the congregation than for the Lord. And so the Lord, he says, number one, he says, it's not a show when you talk to me. It's personal. So let's keep it simple. He says, verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Number two, there is a time for corporate prayer. You know, we pray together on Wednesdays. We pray together on Saturday mornings. We pray together on Thursday nights. There's times for corporate prayer. But here the Lord says, when you pray, it's a private time. There's public time, and then there's private time with the Lord. And I think a lot of what we do in the church, especially in America, because we have the freedom to show off. Yep, I said it. A lot of it is theatrics. A lot of it is, well, people need to know what I'm praying. People need to know what I know. People need to know what I'm thinking. On behalf of the people. No, we don't. You know how many meetings I've been in where people just had to say something? I'm like, I mean, now I'm never going to be able to look at you the same way. You should have kept that junk to yourself. And so the Lord says, you can pour it all out to me. Bring it on in to your prayer closet. Bring it into, this is just you and me. The Lord says, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to look at you any differently. People, they may. People, they just might. But the Lord, he says, you can pour it all out to me. And he says, you pray to me in secret, I'll reward you openly. You know, prayer, worship, the study of the word, those are all integral parts of our faith. But I think of it like an iceberg because, you know, we all know with an iceberg, 90% of the iceberg is beneath the surface. We're not seeing most of what's there. But the tip is so huge, we think that's the whole thing. Yep, we're here this morning, and we're reading the Word. But I hope this is not the only time you're reading the Word. I hope it's just a drop in the bucket to how much you're reading the Word. Yep, we came out, and we sang some songs to the Lord. We praised the Lord. But I hope this is not it. I hope you're not saying, well, we praise the Lord. I'll see you next Sunday, Lord, maybe Wednesday. But, you know, that's it for now. No. This is just the family gathering, just like we all got together for Thanksgiving, and we ate together as a family, and it was a big deal, and it was a big to-do. But how many of y'all have eaten since Thursday? Okay, nobody's passed out, so I assume all of us. So the same thing, we come out for worship and prayer and fellowship and all that, but it doesn't mean, well, I'll see you next week, Lord. I'll be the one limping because I'm malnourished spiritually, I'm good. No, it's a daily thing. What we do here should just be the very tip. And here he says, it's a private thing. I think of Daniel because it says that he prayed every day. He would open up his window and he would look to Jerusalem and he would pray for his nation, for his people, for what God was going to do. And you could say, well, Jeremy, you messed up your own point because Daniel, it says he opened up his window so people could see him. Daniel didn't open up his window so that people could see him. Daniel opened up his window so that he could see where he was praying. It was just a byproduct. Eventually, he got in trouble because a bunch of people saw him praying. And they said, you can't do that. It's a lockdown. What are you doing praying? What's wrong with you? And so his whole focus was, it wasn't going to change what he did. He had already had set in his mind, hey, I pray three times a day. I pray praying towards Jerusalem because that's what the Lord told us to do. So I'm going to do it. And this is not that I'm praying for these people and I'm praying over this person and all that stuff. I'm praying to the Lord. And if you like that, cool. And if you got a problem with that, cool. But that's what I'm doing because it's between me and him. And Daniel, me and him. Yeah, okay. I'm always, the grammar is always, is that right? That was how he had it correct. He goes on and he says, and when you pray, Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Now there's two don'ts in there. The other one is quite subtle. He says, number one, when you pray, and I think we're on number three here, do not make it meaningless. Vain repetition. A lot of people think the Lord is saying the repetition is the bad part. It's the vain part that makes it bad. Because you know what I prayed yesterday when we ate dinner? Lord, we thank you for this food. Pray to bless it. Wait, that's what you prayed on Friday. But that's what you prayed on Thanksgiving. Wait a minute, we had a potluck and you prayed. That's what you prayed then. You know why? Because I meant it. Lord, I thank you for this food. And I pray that you'd bless it to our bodies. I see Ann in the morning. Good morning. Vain repetition. It's the morning. Hopefully it's going to be a good one. So that's how I greet her when I see her in the morning. Good morning. And I may throw in a sugar or honey just to shake it up a little bit. It's the vain part that makes it bad. If you mean it, say it. And my dad, I love my dad. It's just all the grants, it's burned in there. My dad never, ever meant for us to memorize it. But he had this prayer that he'd say all the time. I mean, because the meal that we all ate together was always dinner because everybody had different schedules. And I'll, you know, because I'm a ham, so I'll act a fool. It's not just here. It's at with my family. But my dad would do this prayer. Lord, we thank you for the food we're about to receive, for his nourishment to the body. For Christ's sake, amen. Did anyone understand that? Yeah. So, Lord, we thank you for the food we're about to receive, for its nourishment to the body. For Christ's sake, amen. Only part I understood about that was, Lord, we thank you for the food we're about to receive. But it had become such a slur of gibberish over the years because, my dad did not have a relationship with the Lord at that time. So it was just this what we say at dinner. You know, yabba dabba doo, thanks for the food. Amen. It's right up there with that same vain emptiness. And so when my dad started to cultivate a relationship with the Lord, it became a little bit more real. I mean, he wasn't praying the Gettysburg Address or anything, which I'm grateful. But Lord, we thank you for the food and we thank you for the day. It was a real prayer. And here the Lord says, it should not be meaningless because I mean something. So when you talk to me, your prayer should mean something. I mean, it's like a conversation. Have you ever talked with somebody and they really feel like they are getting paid by the word? I mean, this has already been communicated. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I don't like you. Whatever the point is, you know what the topic sentence of their soliloquy is, their essay is. You got it. You had it at the reason why I'm talking to you is dot, dot, dot. You got it. But they're not done. And they're talking and they're talking and they're talking. And you're like, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the food we're about to receive, for its nourishment to the body, for Christ's sake. Amen. I mean, you're just saying things to keep yourself awake. But it's those many words that we think we're going to drive home. The point, the Lord says, it should be meaningful. He says, but you don't have to be there all day. I mean, Jeremy, can you say that? You're a preacher. The Lord just said, he says, these people think they will be heard for their many words, which implies the Lord is kind of saying, you don't have to be there all day. Lord, help. Do you know how many prayers there are in the Bible where it's Lord, help, comma, dot, 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 three more paragraphs? No, Lord help, the end. And the Lord helped. I like the story of Elijah versus the prophets of Baal. Those cats were out there all day. And they're going around a little altar and they're talking about this and they're talking about that. I mean, it's vain repetition because after so long, you're going to start to repeat yourself. And they're repeating and they're repeating and they're repeating and nothing. And then it gets so bad that they start cutting themselves. And then Elijah, I like Elijah. I mean, in heaven, we're all going to be in our glorified bodies. If I were to meet Elijah on earth, I think we wouldn't get along because I think we're kind of made of the, I think we're putting the same ingredients in our grits. I think we're kind of the same. But up there, it'll be all good because Elijah, he does something that Jeremy Grant would do. He comes out and he starts mocking him, which, you know, I'm not going to say that, but sometimes Yeah. Well, anyway, he comes out and he mocks him. And he says, hey, maybe you need to yell louder. Maybe Belle's on vacation. Hey, maybe Belle is in the little false idol's room. Maybe you need to give him a minute to sort his stuff out. And he goes on and he mocks him. And then he says, okay, you turkeys have had this whole day to call on and wake up your God. Get out of the way. And it says he prays. And his prayer is about a verse long. It's incredibly short. It takes about 30 seconds to read it, if that. And you know what? The Lord showed up. He proved you can just say, Lord, would you show them all? I mean, I'll say it because it says, Lord, show them that you are God and that I am your prophet. Lord, if you'd give me a little validation, I appreciate it. And then the Lord, he set that altar on fire. He didn't have to be there all day, but what he had to do was in line. He was talking to the Lord, and the Lord heard him. It didn't have to be this big, elaborate thing. And so here he says, the heathen, they keep it long. And you know what? It's kind of funny because the longer you talk, the longer you repeat yourself. I like it because the Bible, a lot of times it says, do not offer the sacrifice of fools when you go to the house of God. Let your words be few. He says, even a fool looks wise if he keeps his mouth shut. It sounds like the Lord is saying, shh. Little math question for you. Not really. If you say 10 words, your chances of saying something stupid I don't want to make it seem like, yo, our chances of saying something stupid, inappropriate, offensive, whatever, it goes down a lot because you only got 10 words. But if you're like, you know what? I got about 5,000 words just burning a hole somewhere up here. And I got pieces of my mind to give away. I have oodles of wisdom to share. So put your seatbelt on because I'm about to say some stuff. So you're talking, and it's like a landmine. Eventually, you're going to step in it. Eventually, you're going to say something stupid because, I mean, if you just say something, just talk, you're going to say something stupid. The Lord says, keep it simple. It's okay to keep it short. And my prayers are usually short. And I didn't have a term for them, but Linda Sorensen helped me out. She calls them popcorn prayers. I like that. Mainly because I like popcorn. No, but they get the job done. I do not want to, because I'm looking at the time, I'm looking at the text, we're probably not going to finish it all today. But I don't want to leave you condemned, because talking to the Lord is like talking to people. How so, Jeremy? Say what you need to say, and then quit. So there are some conversations, they're not going to be that long. This, that, and the other. Just wanted to tell you this. We're done here. That's cool. There are some questions. Hey, we need to talk about, every husband in this place. I know I'm in trouble when Ann says, we need to talk about. I'm like, no, we don't. We're good. I'm usually, whenever I hear that, I know I did something. And when we say, Lord, I need to talk to you about this. The Lord's not in trouble, but it's some stuff that we need to pour out to him. So I'm not saying, hey, keep it quick. I mean, keep it quick when you're in the congregation, but there are those times in your closet where you are going through stuff where you have to pour it out to the Lord. Sick kids, hurting people, jobs that are not there, bills that need to be paid, and help, Lord, it will get God's attention, but we got more in the tank and we want to pour our hearts out. That's fine. That's cool. But what the Lord is talking about here is when you're in the congregation, the heart more than anything else. And I glazed over it, but I didn't want to forget it. You notice each time, verse 5, he says, and when you pray. Verse 6, but you, when you pray. Verse 7, and when you pray. Sounds like the Lord's kind of making an assumption here. We should pray. He doesn't say, if you pray, if you want to pray, if you need to pray, if you feel like praying. He says, no, when you pray. It's a given. Not, I mean, every day. And a lot of people, one thing you guys are going to learn, there's some things that really bug me. And this whole thing, it was a lot of stuff I didn't even know about until I went to college. But this whole thing about spiritual disciplines. And, you know, these are things that, I'm just going to put the little Jimmy Grant on it. These are the things that the super saints do to show God how super they are. And so, you know, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to pray. The Bible is still there at 5 p.m. You don't have to get up at 5. Praying for an hour. You pray for an hour, but if you got 10 minutes in the holster, pray for 10 minutes or 10 seconds, pray for 10 seconds. But these spiritual disciplines, you know, basically you get together and I did this and I did that and all this stuff. And prayer was one of those things that it was, I mean, a discipline. Going to the gym is a discipline. Watching what you eat is a discipline. Those are two things that are not pleasant. And I had a problem with that as a sophomore in college. Okay, so you're saying that talking to God is this thing that it's really not enjoyable, but we should all do it to show how cool we are. No. I mean, if it's a discipline for anybody, it's a discipline for God listening to us. And, you know, we act like, well, you know, I've got around to praying and, you know, I'm so busy. I mean, I can talk in the car with this little ear thing, but I can't pray because I'm, and we pawn God off as like some chore to talk to him. And God should be up in heaven saying, you know, I'm keeping the universe going. I've really got some stuff going on. I'm too busy to listen to your gibberish. And that's not what he says. He says, hey, my door's always open. You come talk to me about this, that, and the other, because I want to hear from you. So he says, when you pray, pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon, pray in the evening. Well, Jeremy, that's legalism. It's not legalism. It's not meant to be legalism. People can make it legalism, but it's love. We all live with somebody. We work with people. If you like them, you talk to them. If you are mad at somebody, usually you quit talking to them. So the Lord, we're sitting up there not talking to him day after day, week after week, until the next crisis or whatever comes up. And the Lord says, did I do something? Because, you know, we're not talking anymore. When I had, I didn't discover this until after, but when I had the big COVID, I now refer to him as Mr. COVID because respect. I, like a lot of people, I thought it was just a bunch of people crying who wanted a day off and wanted to, you know, we called it COVIDcation at the warehouse because you had, you know, they couldn't touch you. You know, if you did something stupid, I got COVID. And they're like, oh, you got COVID. Never mind. You robbed that bank fair and square. Go ahead and take it. Don't breathe on it. Put your mask on, but you're good. And so, you know, IKEA had 2 weeks. You know, if you had COVID, if you tested positive, you had 2 weeks off. So people were going to Florida. People were going to Montana. People were going to Hawaii. And, I mean, it was a big thing. Like, yeah, man, I just used my COVIDcation. And I did not, I mean, I was a stickler. So I said, man, the world will blow up before I use any of that time. I'm not using that because, you know, I still thought COVID was mildly fake until I got me some. And my whole point is that junk wiped me out so bad. I didn't talk to Ann for 2 weeks. It's not that I was mad. I mean, I was mad, but because I'm always mad. But I couldn't talk. I mean, I had the first or the second strain. I mean, they should have called it the boogaloo strain instead of whatever, because it was a boogaloo. I mean, it knocked me down and kept me down. And I'd just be sitting like, and you just, you know, you would sit there and think, it's like, you know, I'm really quite thirsty. But then I'd have to open up my mouth and say, I'm thirsty. And I'm really not, I mean, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of talking. And my throat wasn't, I mean, if you had it, you know, your throat wasn't sore. You just couldn't breathe. You just didn't have the strength to just even think loud. And so I'd sit there and like, never mind. And that's how it went for 2 weeks, you know, just not seeing anything, just wiped out, couldn't talk. But usually, We talk because we have a cordial relationship. And the Lord, he says, you love me. I love you. I love you so much I die for you. We're on good standing. So when you pray, okay, here's the thing. This is probably going to branch out because most of my little stories do. There's two great times to pray to the Lord. Are you ready? It'll change your life. When things are good, when things are bad. So in a group this size, somebody's going through a time where, man, we just came off of Thanksgiving and things are super groovy cool. Lord, I thank you. Things are good. I just wanted to let you know. Nothing's on fire. Nothing's flooding. Just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to check in and just let you know that I realize how good things are going, and that's your fault. I say that because we blame stuff on God. We might as well blame good stuff on God. And then when the bottom falls out, then we can pour out our hearts to the Lord then. But this whole thing of praying, we have a reason to do it all the time. And short prayers, long prayers, happy prayers, sad prayers, well, that's up to you. That's between you and the Lord. But this whole thing of just keeping the lines of communication open with the Lord, just talking. And I mean, by now you've probably noticed we're probably not going to make it through the whole text as advertised in the bulletin. We're not going to get into the Lord's Prayer. But the thing, did somebody say amen? Right on. like, I can agree with that, man. Keep on. But this whole thing, the importance of prayer, I mean, you think about it. It is the lifeline. Well, for lack of a better term, it is our only prayer. So no wonder we have I won't say a friend, but an old acquaintance who likes to hang out on this shoulder. Or this shoulder. Some of us, we got a devil here and a devil over here. And he's like, you don't need to pray. Or you can't pray. Or you sinned this week, so you shouldn't pray. And this whole thing of, you don't need to talk to God about it. You don't need to take it to the Lord about it. You don't need to be in contact with the Lord about it. It's not that big. It's too big. It's such a huge thing. The Lord's like, just pray. Well, Lord, I can't because it's raining today. What? I mean, that sounds silly. But have you heard some of the reasons why people don't pray? I mean, there are some really comically stupid reasons why people don't pray. And it's right up there with, it's raining today, so I didn't pray. And the Lord says, please pray. I mean, you need to pray. It's like this. Okay, somebody circle in your Bible, yell it out next week. We're going to start again next week on verse 8. I want to end on this because I think you've gotten where I'm going with this. We need to pray. We need to keep it simple. There's a way to do it. There's a way not to do it. And we just talked about how not to do it. But it's like this. When the girls were little, I mean, I could fit them both in the shopping cart. And it was a good day. We'd get up and we'd do hair. And by we, I mean myself. And because Ann was at work making it all possible. And so I'm combing hair and ow, ow, ow. You're fine. Just watch Paw Patrol. And I'm doing hair. And finally, like, whew, all right. I mean, because that was like, if I could just make it to doing hair, tough part is over. And then if you could get one while she was asleep, that was a bonus. But then you load them up, you go to the store, and I tell the girls, we're 10-8 now. We're on duty. So I want you girls watching. Because not every brother is a brother. Not every friend is a friend. So I want you girls watching. And if anybody comes at you, you just call me. If we be walking, you girls get on my weak side, and here comes a dog. Dad, there's a dog. Well, come on. They knew they didn't have, dear father, 6 inches away from me, clothed in a vest, ever flowing in your strength, would you please pour down your love upon me and help me? No, it was usually help dad. There's a dog. There's a guy that looks kind of sketchy. Help. Man, I'm good to go. If my girls need help, man, you better watch out. But it just need to be a one-word prayer. Help. Or just dad. I'm ready to go. Their strength was not in their ability. They couldn't defend themselves against any kind of dog. They couldn't defend themselves against any kind of bad guy that we saw at the store. Because there were, now after hanging out with the chippies, I kind of could tell. I kind of spot them like, oh, get behind me. Their strength, their salvation, for lack of a better term, was their linkage to me. Help me, Dad. Help me. And the devil knows that is the same for us. That's where the power is. Not in the prayer, but who we're praying to. And no wonder, you know, you look at the condition that the church is in. I mean, it's not too great because we think we can do it. And the Lord says, just ask. Give it up and just start asking. We think we can change the world. We can't even change ourselves. And the Lord says, yeah, you're trying to do this and you're trying to get this going and you're trying to plan this. The Lord says, I'm waiting for you to ask me for help. I'm waiting for you to reach out to me. I'm waiting for you to check in with me. At this point, I mean, this fellowship's been around for 33 years. Más o menos, give or take. You've heard, thank you. You've heard it all. So I know a lot of what I'm saying is a reminder. We need to pray. We get to pray. The Lord in heaven he's pricking his ear when we pray. Don't let it be more complicated than it needs to be. You have a Father who is in heaven. You're his child who's on the earth. We're in good standing. Then talk to him. I could keep going, but somebody says something about vain repetition. So I'm listening. Thank you. I knew who it was. As soon as he said it, I knew exactly who it was. Let's stand and let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can talk to you, Lord. We can pour out our requests. We can pour out our thanks. We can pour out our hurts. Lord, we can just ask for help. And Lord, a lot of times, Lord, it's just straight up pride that we don't talk to you the way we should, maybe even as often as we should. And Lord, I mean, there's a lot of people that go through so much to talk to false gods that aren't listening, that don't exist. And Lord, we have you. We have the real deal. Lord, that we would act like it. Lord, that we talk to you about everything, Lord. And we thank you that we know that when we cry out, when we call out, Lord, you'll hear us. So Lord, thank you for hearing us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for all the blessing that you've given, Lord. We ask that you'd bless the remainder of our day, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.